Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. September 4, 2021. Education according to Leo Tolstoy. The fame of Tolstoy the novelist has to some extent obscured his writings on education, which were based on first-hand experience. Tolstoy's ideas on education caused considerable controversy, which continues to rage to this day. Tolstoy, at the age of 21, having opened a school on his ancestral estate at Yasnaya Polyana, made an attempt to begin teaching peasant children. Reading Tolstoy's educational writings, one has an almost physical perception of a living child, presented not in a frozen photographic pose but in the manifestation and development of its individual characteristics, the unfolding of its personality and in mental states which fluctuates in accordance with the many and varied influences to which he or she is subject. Tolstoy said that a child is by nature a perfect and innocent creature whose free development should not be hindered. Leo Tolstoy, Semyon Filipovich Yegrov, UNESCO, International Bureau of Education. My response: I do not agree. What is individuality? Egoistic. It must be shaped correctly. Give the little person an appropriate form, altruistic. And leave the inner content. Question: does the little man have a personality? Answer: yes. We need to show him how to realize his individuality. To channel the talents given to him toward altruism. Question: what is altruism for you when you speak about a small child? Answer: when I do everything for the benefit of humanity. For the benefit of others. Leo Tolstoy, Semyon Filipovich Yegrov. The children were punished neither for their behavior nor for poor progress. The requirement that the personality of pupils should be treated with respect presupposed that, without punishment or coercion on the part of the adults, they would move towards a recognition of the need to submit to the order on which success at school depended. My response: as for the unlearned lessons, this does not interest me. And as for punishment is forbidden, if a person does not know the reward and punishment, then he will not correct himself, he will not straighten up. He must see himself existing between reward and punishment. Nature was created in such a way and in such a way it controls us, on the still, vegetative, and animate levels. And it should be so at the human level. When I do not work for myself and act not for myself but for the sake of others, then I should receive a certain reward, which will first encourage me egoistically, and on the other hand, it will have to instill a desire in me to correct myself even beyond my comprehension. Question: so you set this goal, life for the sake of others and work for the sake of others above everything? Answer: for sure. And then from his actions, he will begin to understand that this is really the goal designed by nature, and so on. Question: if this little man realizes that he is not moving toward this goal, then some kind of punishment should come? Answer: he should at least feel that he is not encouraged. Writings on Education. Introduction to Tolstoy's writings by Ernest J. Simmons. Tolstoy believed that all education should be free and voluntary. He supported the desire of the masses for education, but he denied that the government or any other authority had the right to force it upon them. The Logic of Things, and his study of the operation of compulsory education abroad, convinced him that in this form it was an evil. Pupils should come to learn of their own accord, for if education were a good, it would be found as necessary as the air they breathed. If people were antagonistic, then the will of the people should become the guiding factor. Tolstoy's faith in the will of the people, even though the people might oppose commonly accepted notions of progress, contained the seeds of his later anarchism, and was a direct slap at radical reformers who would uplift the masses against their will. My response: in general, they should be encouraged to do this. But it is quite possible that there is a certain necessary knowledge that you just need to teach even by force. After all, we consist of two levels, animate and human. What is required for the animate level to fulfill the correct existence in our world, we must teach by force. drive the necessary basic rules of behavior and communication skills into the new generation. Question: simple human communication in order not to offend another person, not to humiliate him? Are you hinting that this is the same thing and that it leads to connection? Answer: yes, of course, to connection. Question: you are not talking about nuclear science? Answer: no, it doesn't matter. This does not apply to upbringing. Leo Tolstoy, Semyon Filipovich Yegorov: in Tolstoy's view, freedom in education was an ideological and moral principle that had to be put into practice. It was the antithesis of authoritarian teaching, and essential for a humane attitude to the pupil and respect for his or her dignity as a human being. Freedom in education was a principle that stemmed from the internal laws of cognitive activity. Cognition could not be other than free. In the absence of that condition, activity, initiative, consistency, system and all the other tenets of traditional, classical education were of no use, lacking meaning and purpose. The more firmly education was based on that law, the more successful and fruitful it was. Knowledge that had been assimilated could not simply be transmitted and could certainly not be thrust on pupils if they did not want it. Pupils had to apply their own efforts and engage in independent cognitive activity. This they could do best of all by not being forced by a teacher but guided by their own free will. Answer: this, of course, he dreamed up. Fostering independence is necessary after a person realizes that he is obliged to exist together with others. Then it is already possible to continue thinking about giving them the makings of intelligent development. Question: when he espoused not forcing children to obey strict rules, do you disagree? In England, for example, it is different. Answer: no. Why? It depends on the level. Egoism must understand its limitations. A child must understand that in these, and these cases I am in restriction and cannot afford to do what I want. Because I exist in society and I am obliged to comply with such and such rules, guidelines. This is a must. Comment: another principle of Tolstoy's education pedagogy is to allow dissatisfaction, such that students can express their point of view and even criticize teachers. My response: I think this is absolutely wrong. Nowhere, in any system except the modern one, if you can call it a system, is there such a provision, and it never has been in the entire history of mankind. Question: would you allow this kind of democracy? Answer: this is not democracy. Democracy is when the opinion of the majority is really evaluated, brought into the system, and used by everyone, because the possibly deeper layer of governance is in the awareness of the masses. But this is not the kind of democracy that we are talking about here. Leo Tolstoy, Semyon Filipovich Yegorov: Leo Tolstoy and the teachers at his school encouraged the pupils' independence, developed their creative abilities and succeeded in getting the children to assimilate knowledge consciously and actively. With this aim in view, they frequently set compositions, particularly on topics of the pupil's own choice, which the children liked very much. In this, Tolstoy's school saw one way of cultivating a creative personality, able subsequently to establish new forms of social relationship worthy of a civilized person. My response: it depends on what technique we take. Will it be something that he invents and writes about, or what we say in Kabbalah, teach according to the clear method of Kabbalah in order to come faster to creating a real person out of himself and to understanding of the entire system in which we exist, and so on? Question: does a clear-cut method already exist and should we follow it? Must a person follow this higher method? Answer: he is required to do so. We have suffered enough already. Look back at our history and that is it. What is there to talk about? Comment: another principle attributed to Tolstoy's education system is to make your teaching clear. Instead of pure scientific terminology, present the children with impressions. My response: it is possible that this should be done. You just need to understand how to tune yourself and them to one common feeling so that it is as if we were playing the same instrument together. Comment. And another element is to live a good life yourself, because children understand the world through the behavior of their parents and loved ones. My response: show children by your own example how correct it is when one is constantly improving himself. Question: and for the children to see it? Answer: yes, that is very important. From CabTV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, October 8, 2020. Keep yourself in balance. Question: a person does not see himself as a part of nature. This perception is hidden from him. He does not understand that he is one with the biosphere, and that by perfecting his physical form he is perfecting the biosphere. Therefore, people have no motivation to do physical exercise and they stop doing anything at all. How can a person change his worldview to see that he is one with nature, a part of this natural creation that can keep improving itself? How can we give him such motivation? Answer: the science of Kabbalah explains that we are a part of nature, its most developed, egoistic part. We want to subjugate nature and use it in the greatest egoistic desire. As a rule, this does not benefit us, especially in the long run, although sometimes we see that we supposedly derive immediate benefits from using nature egoistically. The most important thing for us is to be in balance with nature. Everything that the body is supposed to get, try to give it quantitatively and qualitatively in the form it needs, at the same time understanding that the same harm will come if we did not give it enough. That is, excess is the same poison as lack of nutrients. We must learn to keep ourselves in balance. Question: regrettably, there are no norms in medicine defining how much a person should move, how much and what to eat. There is complete freedom. If you want, move. If you want, do not move. If you want, eat. If you want, do not eat. What do you think? Would it be good to have a canonical norm from nature that people could guide themselves by? Answer: there really is no such norm. But Kabbalah says that if a person thinks about his spiritual and physical development in such a way that they complement each other, he will find this golden mean. Question: that is, we have a certain navigator inside that is dormant for the time being? Answer: yes. If we treat it soberly, treat it normally, we will begin to feel it. From CabTV's Meetings with Kabbalah, July 29, 2021. Desires and Passions of Towards. Zohar for All, Lecture, Item 96, The Most Hidden is Given to the Wise at Heart. 3 degrees cling to one another: Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama are the 3 degrees of attaining the upper world, the 3 degrees of attainment of the Creator, coming closer to the Creator, and similarity to Him. When a person is filled with the light of the first degree, the degree of Nefesh, he feels similar to the Creator in the state of smallness. Nefesh is considered a force from which the body is built. When a man wakes up in this world to mate with the Nukva, all the organs agree and erect to enjoy it, and the soul and the will of a man readily enter that act, drawing the soul and permeating it into the semen that he lets out. Semen means the spiritual inclination within us, that was given to us, from which we begin to develop. This has nothing to do with eroticism. There is no eroticism in the spiritual world. There are desires and passions of bestowal, but not reception. They are called by the same terms that animalistic desires and passions are called in our world, because there is an imprint in the animalistic body as a copy of spiritual qualities and actions. Naturally, in the upper world there is no connection with what is happening in our bodies. In our world, this is just an instinct that promotes physical reproduction plus the development of egoism. No more than that. Comment: yet, the human instinct has gained a rather powerful character. It even influences our culture. My response: everything in a person is like this. Love and hunger rule the world. By love we mean animalistic passion. In spirituality also love and hunger rule the world. It comes from the same force, but acts in different directions. Passing through the spiritual worlds, this force has its own quality and its own aspect of manifestation there. When it enters our world, it manifests itself in a completely different way in animalistic attraction, satiation, and pleasure. Therefore, there is a difference in the understanding of the same text by an ordinary person and a Kabbalist. For example, a Kabbalist, reading the Song of Songs, understands it as a great passion for bestowal, for the Creator, for adhesion with Him. On the spiritual level, these are completely different qualities than on the animalistic level. It is because in our world there is only inanimate, vegetative, and animalistic nature, and the level of man does not exist here. Man is already a spiritual level in us, a quality of bestowal. People in our world are called people or human according to the goal that they must achieve, according to what is prepared for them, but not according to the degree at which they exist for now. From Cab TV's The Power of the Book of Zohar number 18.